It's an interesting coincidence that Salt Lake City, Utah, the global home of the Mormon faith, has played host for two very different global gatherings in the span of only 2 weeks. As we discussed earlier in the show, the frightening World Congress of Families descended on the city this weekend. But last weekend, it was a very different scene as 10,000 representatives of 50 faith traditions traveled from 80 countries to the Parliament of the World's Religions in Salt Lake City. Among those taking part was the Reverend Mark Lukens, a pastor in the United Church of Christ and chairperson of the board of directors at Interfaith Alliance of Long Island. He's been on this show before. I'm happy to have him return to the show. But Mark, welcome back to State of Belief.
Thank you. Thank you, Weldon. It's wonderful to be here.
For listeners who may not have heard of the Parliament of the World's Religions, would you start with just a brief summary of what it is and just a quick history?
Beginning in the 1890s, I believe, 1893, I think, in Chicago, mm-hmm. It is a gathering every few years of people of all different faiths from all over the world, people who get together to teach each other, to learn from each other about their faiths, about their beliefs, but most importantly, to find ways that we can work together to make the world a better place for all of its people. And so we gather every 5 years or so and have a few days together and workshops on different things, different themes. This year, our theme was climate change, addressing mm-hmm. climate change. And we talk about the important things that affect us all, religio-political extremism around the world, faith communities in crisis, hunger, poverty, and what are faithful responses to those kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. Why was it important for you to take this time off to go to the Parliament of the World's Religions?
I think that today, more than ever, we are facing crises that are affecting all the people of the world. Climate change, of course, affects everyone. And I think that it's absolutely imperative as a Christian, as an American, as a human being, that I do what little I can to promote peace and understanding between the different faiths. That's an imperative of my faith. And mm-hmm. Specifically, I was asked to be part of a panel discussing intra-religious responses to extremism. And extremism is a threat that is nearly as global and as dangerous as climate change, or even perhaps equally so. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that I feel very strongly about. It's part of our mission as a chapter at the Interfaith Alliance, and of course, the Interfaith Alliance nationally. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I needed to be there. I had an opportunity, And, you know, I'm a preacher, so somebody mm-hmm. offered me a pulpit.
Well, I'm curious as to what you said, and also curious as to whether or not the other people on the panel were pretty much talking about the same thing you were, or were there some contradictions to that?
There were four of us on the panel with a moderator, a rabbi, Rabbi Ray Abulia, mm-hmm. Dr. Sheikh Ubaid, a Muslim scholar, Kanan Srinivasan, a Hindu journalist and writer and teacher at Columbia. Mm-hmm. And each of us spoke from our own tradition about the extremism in our own tradition in the United States and other parts of the world, and what we thought that where that came from and what we could do about it. And so I spoke about Christian extremism and then what we can do about it. You know, I think that Christian extremism now comes from a sense of angst mm-hmm. and despair about modernism, about multiculturalism, about the things that people see as threatening their privileged place in the world or a place that they believe should be privileged. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was interesting about the presentation, our Hindu scholar focused primarily on the Hindutva extremist movement in India. Of course, our Muslim presenter focused on Islamic extremism, and our Jewish presenter on the settler movement and Jewish extremism. And one, the thing is that is the most striking is how similar all these movements are, not only in terms of their basic beliefs, but in their own kind of response, groups responding to the idea that their cultural domination is somehow threatened in the societies that they are in. And it was a very, what was striking to me was less what was different, but more what we had in common.
Yeah, what that's very interesting. Well, what were the highlights of the gathering that had particular impact on you?
Well, I think one of the highlights for me was the Sikh langar. Each day for lunch, the Sikhs that were present fed all comers. A langar is a meal, a ceremonial meal. So we were all invited to come in. Everybody sits on the floor so that we are all equal. And then we are all served and have this tremendous lunch. And all of a sudden, we're all sitting on the floor talking and chatting, being served by these young men and women. And it was just, I thought, besides the fact that the lunch was delicious, it was a great metaphor for, you know, what we're trying to achieve. Because we see just thousands of people all together, all sharing the bread of life, so to speak. It was very moving. There were all kinds of wonderful presentations, speakers on all manner of topics. But I think to me that was probably the highlight.
Did you have opportunities to sit and talk with people that ordinarily you wouldn't have a chance to sit and talk with? Was there a personal dimension to it?
Absolutely. They were great lounge spaces that were provided precisely, I assume, for that reason. So my wife and I, my wife went with me, and she was absolutely moved by the experience. And but we would be strolling through, and we would just see somebody sitting, so we would start to chat. There was one conversation that very much moved her with a Native American man who talked about having been taken from his family as a child and sent to a religious boarding school, having his head shaved, which in his tradition was a terrible thing to do, and running away and being dragged back over and over again. And this right here in the United States, these are things that, you know, we don't always hear about.
Well, Mark, you introduced yourself and identified yourself as a preacher, and I know one of the tendencies of preachers, because I am one too, is to be a way to discover something, to hear something, and to feel, I just can't wait to get back to the people with whom I share my life and tell them about this. Was there that kind of moment for you, and what did it entail?
I think the moment for me was when I was listening to the other speakers in the panel and recognizing that this struggle that we are engaged in, that the Interfaith Alliance is engaged in against religious extremism, is a struggle for the very soul of our faith. And so how important it is for me to go back to my faith community and really try to illustrate, get across to them the idea that that is what's really on the line, that our reaching out, that our ability, you know, Jesus said, why do you criticize the mote in your neighbor's eye, look to the plank in your own eye, that how essential that is to our faith, to really be intentional and self-critical and look at how we acquiesce or even promote messages of intolerance, how easy it is for our agendas to get confused and to mistake our intention to transform the world as in Christ's image into something that is really about making the world in our own image. So I felt renewed, and I felt that, you know, it was brought home to me again how important this work that we do is, and, you know, not just for the sake of democracy or tolerance, which are all good things, but for the very heart and soul our faith. For me, as a Christian, for someone else, maybe something else. But that is, you know, there's nothing more important. So that's what I want to bring home. And the ways, you know, we discussed that we can do that. Mm. I think one of the most important things that we can do, and I think this is what drew me to the Interfaith Alliance, is we need to stand up, be visible, and be counted. Christians need to be the first ones to condemn extremism in our name. And we need to always be recognizing the links. Christian extremism in the United States, I think, is at its most dangerous, not when we have armed militias or things like that, as bad as those are, but in its acceptance in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. That's where it's really dangerous. When we have a presidential candidate who says a Muslim cannot be the president. Mm-hmm. And those are the links that we need to make for our congregations and our people. Not for political reasons, but for the soul of our faith. That's not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's a betrayal.
The Reverend Mark Lukens is board chair at Interfaith Alliance of Long Island. He's a pastor ordained in the United Church of Christ. And he was one of 10,000 diverse leaders and activists who gathered last weekend in Salt Lake City for the Parliament of the World's Religions. Mark, thanks for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor.